You know, my grandmother used to tell a story about when I was a little kid. We were on our way to church one Sunday morning, and I guess we had been learning about Adam and Eve and how sin entered into the world. She said I was asking her all kinds of questions. You know, why'd they do this? Why'd they do that? She says, suddenly I looked at her and I said, "Mamaw, they really blew it, didn't they?" You know, that's absolutely right. They really blew it. We think about Saul's disobedience, once a great king. How about Samson? Given one instruction, yet he disobeyed God. How about Moses? Cut off from the promised land for his disobedience. These were all men that were called out, followers of God, yet all that God did for them, they still disobeyed God. Tonight, I want us to look at one of these men, one that we're all familiar with, a man by the name of Jonah. Now, Jonah was, for the most part, a bitter man. But there are so many great lessons that we can learn from the book of Jonah. Most of us have heard the stories of Jonah since we were in Sunday school or children's church. And we're all familiar with the fish that played swallow the leader with Jonah. But how many of us realize just how much like Jonah that we really are? You say, well, I would never disobey God like he did. I would never turn my back on God like he did, right? Again, if you would turn your Bible to Jonah chapter 1, we're going to look at the first three verses to start tonight. Now, Jonah, he was a man of God. He was a prophet from the town of Gath-Hepher, which was a border town in Israel. And according to Matthew, Jonah was the prophet that Jesus most likened unto himself. Jonah says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." God told the prophet Jonah to arise, to go to Nineveh, to cry against it, to preach repentance. Now, Nineveh was a very wicked city, full of robbery and idolatry. They were also very bitter enemies of Israel. Jonah could really care less if they lived or died. But God tells Jonah, "For their wickedness has come up before me." You see, God was going to destroy this city, because we know that evil doesn't go unseen by God. And evil doesn't go unpunished by God. But my God, being a loving God, being a merciful God, was not willing that any should perish, but have everlasting life. So God chose Jonah to be the vessel to reach the unreachable in the city of Nineveh. How did Jonah respond? How would you and I respond? God, I know you want me to go to Nineveh. I know you want me to preach salvation. But God, I don't love them. They're my enemy. Please send somebody else. Please don't send me. It's exactly how he responded. Not only did he want to send somebody else, not only did he not want to go himself, but he literally turned and went in the opposite direction. But where did he go? The Bible here in chapter 1 and part of chapter 2 tells us we see that key word down. We see that word down here. We know that he was going away from God. We know that he was going in sin. First, we see he went down to Joppa. See, sin will always take us down. Sin destroys our fellowship with God. It destroys our communication with God. It destroys our walk with God. And sometimes, most importantly, it destroys our testimony for God. Then we see that he went down into a boat. You see, once you turn away from God, once you fall into sin, you start to spiral down. You take that first step, second step, leads to the third and the fourth. Before you know it, you're completely out of the will of God, going in the opposite direction. Sin has a hold of your life. Then we see that he went down into the boat. Down into the boat. Sin becomes such a way of life that we become comfortable in our sin. We begin to feel comfortable and relaxed. He went down inside that boat, kicked off his shoes, kicked up his feet, started relaxing in his own sin. Never once thinking about the consequences of his sin. I want you to know tonight, this is a lie. Straight from hell. Satan deceives us into thinking that everything's all right. You don't need God in your life. You can make it on your own. That is a lie. Then we see that he went down into the waters. Uh-oh. Sin started having consequences. Sin started being no fun at all. When he walked away from God and got on that boat, he thought he was home free. Now he finds himself floundering in the deep waters of sin. Then we see that he went down into the belly of a God-prepared fish. He became completely swallowed up in sin. Again, when he walked away from God, doing his own thing, he thought, everything's just fine. Satan had him totally deceived into thinking that he was all right, relying on his own abilities. Where will sin take you? You know, it's been said that sin will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. And that's absolutely right. It's where sin will take me. It's where sin will take you. Sin will always, always take you down. When I was a teenager, 16 years old, I attended church camp at Pot of Gold Ranch in Comfort, Texas. I grew up attending church and went to Heritage Baptist Temple in Little Rock, Arkansas. I accepted Christ as my Savior at 9 years old during children's church. That summer while at camp, God spoke to my heart. And I went forward and I surrendered my life to full-time ministry. I can remember coming back to church that next Sunday, standing on the front along with everybody else that had made decisions that week, letting the church know that I had surrendered my life. Problem was that by the age of 17, started hanging out with the wrong people, doing the wrong things, going the wrong places. And I dropped out of church. I spent the next 13 years of my life out of church and out of the will of God. You see, God had told me to go, and I went in the opposite direction. You think I found the blessings of God in that direction? Absolutely not. Found great troubles, great storms that kept blowing up in my life. It was one thing after another. I often tell people that those 13 years to me seem more like 30. I knew what I was doing was wrong. Just like Jonah, he knew what he was doing was wrong. Just did it anyway. Going down. Then in 1998, my grandmother passed away. She'd always been the Christian rock in my family, the one that made sure that we were in church on Sunday. That day at her funeral, a lady from our church came up to me and was talking with me. And I looked at her and I said, I'll be at church Sunday. That was August 1998. My wife and I went to church that Sunday. And then in October 1998, we both went forward and rededicated our lives to God. But I want you to know something tonight. There was no guarantees that I would ever come out of that fish's belly. There was no guarantees that I would ever come back to church. There are so many people that I knew back then that are still living in sin today. About half of them are actually dead today. Hearing God's word, accepting Christ as your Savior at an early age is so, so important. My challenge to you young people here tonight is don't forsake your church. The world has nothing to offer. Nothing to offer but pain. Take advantage of everything that you can take advantage of right here in church. Make it your home. Stay engaged. D.L. Moody once said, if I could relive my life, I would devote my entire ministry to reaching children for God. Since 1998, we've been serving in the church. We've sung in the choir, taught children's church, Sunday school. But inside, I knew God wanted more from me. I knew I'd once surrendered to the ministry. But I thought, there's no way God could still use me. Not after all I've done. Besides, I'm not a teenager anymore. Got a full-time job. I could find every excuse not to serve full-time. But God never stopped laying that on my heart. Tonight, I want us to look at Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. I want us to look at the journey of Jonah's sin and his response. Talk about further than you want to go. It says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee. Into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. A few things that I want us to look at here tonight. Number one. When Jonah reached the bottom, he looked up. You see, from the bottom of that fish's belly, Jonah realized his physical condition. He realized his spiritual condition. He realized that he couldn't save himself. All the running away from God, all the getting on a boat, wasn't going to save him now. Jonah literally hit rock bottom. How many times do we hear about somebody that turned to God when they had nowhere left to turn? Or when they hit rock bottom, they cried out to God. I want you to know tonight, that's a wonderful thing. God is absolutely there for us when we hit rock bottom. But here's the wonderful thing. We don't have to wait until we hit rock bottom to cry out to God. God is there for us all the time. His promise was that He would never leave us nor forsake us. He's there to walk with us, to talk with us, to guide us, to love us. Don't wait until you're in the bottom of a fish's belly to cry out to God. Number two, when Jonah realized that he was in deep, he looked up. Again, from that fish's belly, Jonah realized his sin condition had him in too deep. Again, he realized he couldn't save himself. He knew that only God could save him. Again, Jonah thought he was just fine on his own. He literally went 3,500 miles away from where God had told him to go. Went down inside that boat, literally took a nap. Not until the consequences of sin affected him personally did he cry out to God. Again, don't wait until you're in the belly of a fish to cry out to God. We're not promised tomorrow. Thirdly, when he realized that he had been cast out of the sight of God, he said, I will look again towards God. He looked up. You see, Jonah had not only fallen away from God, but Jonah, being a man of God, found himself in the worst place that a saved person could ever be. Out of the will of God. Doing his own thing. Acting like a lost man. You see, when we're saved, we're called out. We're separated. We take off those old filthy rags and we put on the clean rags of righteousness. Jonah was trying to act like a lost man. Trying to put on those old filthy rags back on. Problem was that by putting on those old rags, he was showing that he had a lack of faith and a lack of trust in God. That God had a purpose for his life. Whenever we think that we know better for our lives, that's when we start to go down. We fall into sin and we get deeper and deeper. Number four, when he realized that the water was all around him, he looked up. See, every time that fish would swallow, the waters would come in over his head. And every time those waters came in over his head, Jonah felt like he was drowning over and over. Likewise, he was drowning in sorrow. His sin was cutting him to his soul. The deeper we are in sin, the further we are from the will of God. And the further we are from the will of God, the more we begin to drown. You know, I like to think of it kind of like a frog being put in a pot of water. Put it on the stove, turn up the heat. Before you know it, that frog is cooked. He's done. Sin does the same thing to us. Before you know it, you're cooked. You're done. Sin has a way of making frogs out of us. Number five. When he realized that the weeds were all around, choking him, he looked up. You see, Jonah had brought all this on himself. These were all consequences of his own actions. Rather than to obey God, rather than to love your enemies, rather than to witness to others, he became tangled in the weeds. Being tangled in the weeds just simply means being caught up by the affairs of this life. You know, we can be tangled in the weeds right here in church. Sitting here in church every Sunday. We have so many things today that occupy our time. Internet, cell phones, Facebook, sports. The list is endless. Satan has become a master at keeping us busy all the time. Most of the time busy doing little or nothing. But it usually keeps us away from this right here. Being tangled in the weeds. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. There's no way to please God and be tangled in the weeds. There's no way to come out of life's entanglements without God. If Jonah had never known God, he would never have known hope. But we know there's hope. And we know the one there's hope in. by just calling out to God. Number six, when he realized that he was in the lowest of valleys, he looked up. This one here is one of my favorite ones. Verse 6 says, I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. When you think about how tall the mountains are tall, and you realize that the seas are as deep as the mountains are tall, this fish took Jonah to the depths of the sea, to the lowest of lows. What a great analogy for how deep sin will take us. To the lowest of lows, to the depths of the sea. Something I want you to know tonight, though. We are never, ever in too deep. We are never in too much turmoil. We are never in too much pain. We are never in too deep in sin. That if we just cry out to God, He will save us and plant our feet on solid ground. You cannot out-sin God's grace. Number seven. When he felt as if he was going to die, he looked up. You see, at the time this was written, the presence of God dwelt in the temple above the mercy seat. When he was looking up, he was looking towards the temple. He was looking to God. If you'd have looked at Jonah, you'd have said, this man's a goner. There's no way he could possibly come out of this. But I want you to know tonight, there was hope. There was hope. By calling out to God and asking for forgiveness. And even Jonah could be saved. We see here that Jonah cried out to God, salvation is of the Lord. And when Jonah cried out to God, my God of mercy, my God of forgiveness, my God of second chances, delivered Jonah out of that fish's belly and planted his feet on solid ground. Jonah chapter 2 is a prayer of confession. A prayer of confession that my God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, I want you to understand that we are never in too deep to be saved. Again, my God of second chances here in Jonah chapter 3 tells us that he tells Jonah for the second time, arise, go to Nineveh, preach. Here's one of the main points I want to make tonight. Notice that God used the same man, the same message, the same messenger that he had once called before. Now, if God could still use Jonah to do what he had once called him to do before, can he not still use you or me to do what he had once called us to do before? Absolutely. You say, well, God's never called me to be a missionary. God's never called me to be a pastor. That may be true. But if you're here tonight and you're saved, God has called you to the ministry. God's called you to serve right here where you're at. I'm sure there's plenty to do in the church. I'm sure there's plenty of lost people around here in this area. Whether in Myanmar or whether right here in America. Is our nation tonight that much different than Nineveh? Maybe you're here today and you feel like I did. Maybe you feel like God can't still use you. I want you to know tonight, God can still use you. If you are surrendered and willing, God will use you. We see here we're given a second chance. Jonah chapter 3 verse 3 tells us that Jonah arose. He went to Nineveh and he preached. He preached about the judgment of God. He preached about repentance. He preached about with the power and the conviction of God. But my favorite part is Jonah chapter 3 verse 5. It says, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. The people of Nineveh needed a messenger. God sent Jonah. The people of Nineveh needed repentance and they turned. And God saw that they turned and He spared the city of Nineveh from destruction. You know, not only did God save Jonah out of that fish's belly, but God used Jonah to reach His own enemies for Christ. That's being used by God. Our church was a sending church of a missionary by the name of Brother Butch Krenz. Brother Butch Krenz was a missionary to the country of Thailand. Every few years he would come to our church and he would show his presentation and show us the work that he was doing over there. The church he had started. Children's home that he had started. And every time he came to our church, God would speak to my heart. You need to be doing that. You need to get busy. Again, in 2018, we surrendered our lives to become missionaries. In 2019, God called us to the country of Myanmar, a country that's 96% Buddhist, that need to hear this same message of salvation, that need to hear how God sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins, that He was hung on that cross, He shed His blood, and He was buried. And He rose again on the third day. And then He is seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for their sins and for my sins. That no matter whether you're in America or whether you're in Myanmar, the path of salvation, the plan of salvation is the same. To repent and ask for forgiveness. I think about Paul when he was handing the baton to Timothy. And he said, pass it on to the next generation so that they in turn can pass it on to the next generation. As I said earlier, attending church, hearing God's word, accepting Christ as your Savior at an early age is so, so important. That's our goal in Myanmar, to teach the children so that they can pass it on to the next generation. But again, whether in Myanmar or right here in America, we have a need right here. We have a generation today that's never heard the plan of salvation. You know, I was telling somebody earlier, growing up in church, I kind of felt like for years I was in a bubble. I assumed growing up everybody got to hear the message of salvation. Many years went by before I realized that wasn't true. We have a generation of kids today that's missing out. And it's because of my generation that failed to bring them to church, that failed to teach their children about God, that failed to read the Bible to them. There's plenty to do right here in America. My challenge for you tonight is just do it. Maybe you're here today and you're like Jonah. Maybe you've been running away from God. Maybe God's called you to the ministry, but you just thought you couldn't be used. Or you just didn't want to surrender. Whatever the case may be, I invite you tonight to come, to surrender your life to His will. Maybe you're here tonight and you can't point to a time where you accepted Christ as your Savior. I want you to know tonight, that a no choice is a choice. There's only two choices, heaven or hell. You can be sure of your salvation. Maybe you're here tonight and you just are not sure. You don't know if you've got it settled or not. You don't know where you're going to spend eternity. I want you to know tonight that you can be 100% sure where you will spend eternity. If that's you tonight, if you fit in any of these categories tonight, my prayer for you tonight is that you will come and surrender to God.